Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
720 WGN, thank you so much for joining us. Let's say hello to Michelle Slawny. She is the Director of Wealth Planning at Associated Bank. How are you today, Michelle?
Good morning, Lisa. I'm doing well. Thanks. Glad to be here.
And on line two is Heather Weller, the Associated Bank Senior Vice President, Personal Trust Manager. Hey, thank you for joining us, Michelle. I know we gather just about every couple months to talk about a variety of topics that impact women and wealth. And of course, these are our friends from Associated Bank. And as three women, we like to get together and inspire other women to get up to date when it comes to IRAs and retirement planning. So let's start with you, Heather. Let's talk about 2025 contribution limits.
Well, thank you. So one of the popular and really important tools that people can utilize to save for their own retirement are IRAs or individual retirement accounts. And in 2025, everyone can put in at least $7,000 into an IRA, and if someone is 50 years old or better, they can add an additional $1,000 to that and do $8,000 total.
And let's talk about traditional IRAs.
So, yes, there's two different tools that people can utilize. Traditional IRAs are IRAs where people can make contributions with pre-tax dollars, meaning that they can reduce their taxable income for the year. So when they put money in, they can deduct that contribution off their taxes. The earnings grow tax-deferred. Withdrawals are taxed as ordinary income when they do come out, though, so people need to be aware of that. And when people hit a certain age, it might be 73, depending on their birth year, they would be required to take out money at a certain pace for the rest of their life. So people just need to be aware of that with traditional IRAs. They're a great planning tool, but they do have those additional contingencies.
Yeah, there's always a lot of questions about RMDs whenever we have financial people on. Let's talk about the Roth IRA.
Yeah, the Roth IRA is a nice tool as well. Conversely, whereas the traditional was pre-tax, the Roth IRA, you can put money in after tax, meaning you've already been taxed on those funds. But the cool thing about Roth IRAs is that the earnings grow tax-free, and when you withdraw from it at whatever age after 59 and a half, everything comes out tax-free and penalty-free. And there's no required minimum distributions from Roth IRAs at any age. And so people really view that as a great tool for them to utilize.
And Heather, what are the income limitations on contributing?
So a Roth IRA does have income limitations. So if you're a single filer, your modified adjusted gross income has to be under $150,000 for the year. And if you're married filing jointly, your modified adjusted gross income has to be under $236,000. Whereas a traditional IRA, there's no income limit. So anyone can contribute to a traditional IRA, but the caveat with that is that not everyone can deduct the contributions. And so there's some limitations with that, and that's really dependent on what your modified adjusted gross income is, if your filing status is singled, married filing jointly, and whether or not you're covered with an employer retirement plan. If you're not covered, your contributions are fully deductible. If you are covered, then single filers, the deduction really is phased out when your modified adjusted gross income is between $89,000 and $101,000. And married filing jointly, that's phased out in between $146,000 and $161,000. So, however, if your income exceeds the limits for full deduction, you can explore non-deductible contributions and do something called a backdoor Roth.
And Michelle Slawny is the Director of Wealth Planning at Associated Bank, and you know something about that, Michelle, correct?
Yeah, so the backdoor Roth is a workaround, right? So it allows those high-income earners to contribute to a Roth IRA by bypassing the income limits that prevent them from contributing directly. So the way it works is the person will make a non-deductible contribution to their traditional IRA, and they will then convert those funds to their Roth IRA. So they first make a pit stop in the traditional IRA, and then they're moved over to that Roth. They will pay tax on the growth while it sat in that traditional IRA. So let's say I put $7,000 in my traditional IRA today, and next month I move it into my Roth. I do that conversion, and I got $100 of interest. I will have to pay income tax on that $100 of interest. But the $7,000 that I put in was after tax, and I didn't deduct it on my tax return, so that I don't have to pay tax again. Which one is right for people? You know, it depends. But if you expect to be in a lower tax bracket in retirement than you are today, a traditional IRA probably makes more sense, right? Because we're going to get a bigger tax break today than we'll pay later. On the other hand, if tax-free growth and tax-free withdrawals seem more appealing and you're expecting your taxes to be about the same or perhaps higher later, which honestly happens more often than people think, then a Roth IRA might be the right choice. Ultimately, you always want to consult with your tax advisor before proceeding with anything like a Roth conversion.
And there's just a lot to understand. And that's why I think as women, as humans, as individuals worried about retirement, it's always great to work with professionals like Michelle Slawny, the Director of Wealth Planning at Associated Bank, and Heather Weller, the Personal Trust Manager. And they're both with us today to help us understand that. So let's talk about bonuses, because it is bonus season. So how do we work that in, Michelle, and how do we grow that money?
Yeah, so, you know, lots of companies do pay out their annual bonuses in March. And so folks will many times have a choice, right? They're making some decisions. Sometimes they can contribute a lot of money to their 401k from their bonus. Sometimes they want to keep it all. So options, right? Put nothing in your 401k, additional, but keep the same percentage as you do on your regular check. So for that one bonus, let's say you're contributing 5% of your income to the 401k and your bonus is $5,000. You know, 5% of that bonus will be added to your 401k just like it is for regular payroll. Some people say, I'm getting a really big bonus and I just want to max my 401k out with that so that my future paychecks throughout the year are a little bit higher. So that's an option too. For some folks, I'm going to say, don't put anything in the 401k, especially if you have other high interest debt and you want to just get that bonus on that paycheck so you can work on paying down some of that debt.
Mm. And Michelle or Heather, maybe you can tackle this tax planning around the decision to contribute or not.
Yeah, so it's really important for people to recognize when they get those bonuses that that is increased income to you. And so if you decide not to contribute that into your 401k and reduce your taxable income, then you have some extra income you have to account for on your taxes. And sometimes it can end up as a surprise at tax time if you do not withhold enough. So some people may want to choose to increase their withholdings when they are expecting a bonus so that they have extra money going into the IRS ahead of time. That will allow them to avoid a shock at tax time and interest and penalties that the IRS may institute by underpaying to them. But ultimately, we do recommend that people consult with their tax advisor to really determine that appropriate amount of withholding on their paychecks and whether or not quarterly tax payments are warranted or necessary for them.
And how do they work with you? Heather, how would people in our audience listening right now reach out to you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, they may certainly reach out and ask me any questions. My number is 920-433-7712. Always happy to run through scenarios and really talk through questions with clients.
Because there's a lot to catch up on. Let's talk about catching
up,
especially with the 401k issues that might be a little different this year than they were last year.
Yeah, so Secure 2.0 incorporated a couple of interesting changes to the 401k world. One of them is there's a new catch-up called the Super Catch-Up. And this was made available under a change in Secure 2.0. And what it allows is employees who are aged 60, 61, 62, and 63 to contribute the base limit of $23,500 to their 401k, plus a higher catch-up limit of $11,250. Everyone else can only do a catch-up of $7,500. So if you're, you know, between 60 and 63, you get to put an extra few thousand dollars in your 401k because of the Secure 2.0. Another change that happened is employers can now contribute to a 401k as a match for student loan payments. So if there's listeners out there who are making student loan payments, and we've heard in the news, there's been a lot of conversation around that and some changes that have happened that may not have been favorable to folks that have student loan bills, and maybe they had to turn down or turn off their 401k contribution. Well, the SECURE Act now allows employers to provide matching contributions based on qualified student loan payments. So if that is applying to any of your listeners, they should talk to their employer about that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And what about 529s? What can you tell us about that?
So 529s, people may be familiar with this as a savings plan that families can utilize for college savings for either their kids or their grandkids or other loved members in their world. And different plans are offered in different states. So in Wisconsin, we have Edvest and Tomorrow Scholar. In Illinois, we have Bright Star, Bright Directions, and College Illinois. Many states offer tax deductions for contributions to that, and so Wisconsin offers $5,130 per beneficiary, and Illinois offers $10,000 for a single filer or $20,000 for someone filing jointly. If anyone's interested in the particulars of their 529 plans, we encourage them to visit their state's plan websites to learn more. But here's where the cool thing comes in, because SECURE Act 2.0, as Michelle mentioned, offered some really attractive changes to some of these planning vehicles. SECURE Act 2.0 now is giving us more flexibility with 529s. People used to worry that if they put money in there and children didn't utilize it for college expenses, then it was not utilized the way that they intended. But now, SECURE Act 2.0 allows people to utilize a 529 to pay off a student loan. They can utilize loan repayment of up to $10,000 for a qualified education loan, either of that beneficiary of the 529 or one of their siblings.
Okay, so let's talk about rolling it over into a Roth IRA.
Yes, so SECURE Act 2.0 gave us this additional flexibility, not only, as we mentioned, paying off student loans, but rolling it into a Roth IRA. So taking it from something that was intended to be an educational savings tool to now a retirement savings tool for that beneficiary. And that is just complete change of thought process for us. And so people can utilize 529 plans that have been in place for at least 15 years or more, and contributions or earnings that have been in that 529 for at least 5 years. And then they can roll it over into a Roth IRA and really start building up that retirement savings for that beneficiary. That rollover amount, people should be aware, is limited to the annual Roth IRA contribution limit in place for that year. So that does limit the pace in which people can do it, but it is there for them to do so. And then the lifetime maximum amount allowed to be rolled over is $35,000 per beneficiary. We just think this is such an exciting planning tool for individuals as they look to really help their children and grandchildren start that next phase of their life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so nice to catch up with both of you. There's so much to know. So we are posting this as a podcast at WGNradio.com, because if you thought, wait, what did she say? You can go back and listen to it. And I look forward to our next conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lisa. Good to talk to you.
That's Michelle Solani, Director of Wealth Planning at Associated Bank, and Heather Weller, Personal Trust Manager. You can always reach out to our friends at Associated Bank. They're there to help.